Happy New Year! Happy New Year! Yes! The Lord walk with you throughout this new year, and I know He will, because I know He is faithful, and He will help us to be faithful also, if we will but submit ourselves to Him. Amen? So humble yourself, walk with the Spirit, follow Him, and He will lift you up, right? You need a lifting up every now and then? I'm sure do, I'll tell you that. And so I have no trouble at all calling on the Lord and saying, hey, Lord, I need you. I need you. Isn't there a song like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there is, right. All right, so I trust that your celebration of the birth of Christ was all that you wanted it to be. And maybe the focus was less on the gift giving and more on the perfect gift that was given for our benefit, right? The Father gave His Son that we might know Him and know Him more fully. So I hope it was all you wanted it to be. I hope there was peace and joy in your heart and in your home during the Christmas season. You know, it's more than just a one-day thing, isn't it? And you know, you have to kind of work hard to keep that thought of Jesus in it and be at peace with all of that. So I hope you were successful in that way. We honored our Lord not only on His birthday, but also on New Year's Day. We did a picnic over at Cruise Lake Park and had a good time over there fellowshipping and praise the Lord a little bit. We had some singing going on and all that. We didn't do any preaching that day, but I think we were a good testimony to people who were passing by. And I almost felt like some of them were going to join in, but they didn't. I wish they would. I would have been welcome. So we did celebrate there, and Lord blessed us with that time together. And we did honor the Lord at our picnic, and we praised Him for another year of life. Did you remember to do that? Lord, thank You for this new year of life, that I might know You and walk in Your Spirit and fellowship with You. Because that's really what we want to do, isn't it? As believers, that should be the most important thing in our life. Because Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is He not? And so we have fellowship with the Creator, Sustainer of all things. How often do you think of that? Jesus loves me, and He's the Creator, Sustainer of everything. Do you think He can lift you up and sustain you as well? I think He can, and I think you can prove that very easily by trusting Him. So, now that we have celebrated through the holidays the goodness of God, it's time to return to our God-given mission. Do you know what the mission is? Yes. Go and tell about Jesus. That's why we live the life. For now, you live it to announce the coming of our Savior and His continued life and the way He supports us through that life. Amen?
Amen.
Let's take a moment. Let's go to the Lord and thank Him for His goodness once again. So please join me in prayer. Father, we do take time to recognize the great plan of salvation that involved You, Your Son, and the Holy Spirit working together as the Godhead to bring us to that point of salvation where we can be forgiven for all of the wrongdoing we've ever done, Lord, whether we knew it or not. We're forgiven for it, and we're sustained by Your Holy Spirit and the love that comes through Him and the guidance that comes through Him, originally redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. The only blood that could save eternally. And Lord, You were willing to give that for us. And so in this new year, Lord, we recognize Your kingship over us. And we recognize Your leadership over us. And we pray, Lord, that we will follow the Holy Spirit and humble ourselves to that leadership and follow You in order to glorify You and the Godhead. Because, Lord, You know You are the only deserving person ever. And we give you praise and glory. I thank you for all these saints that are here today, Lord, beginning their new year right, for being in the house of the Lord and fellowshipping with one another and with you. Lord, we must have that fellowship with you. If we are going to keep our way and walk in the way, we need to be with you, fellowshipping and with your Holy Spirit every day. So, Lord, thank you that you were willing to give yourself and then allow the Holy Spirit to come and guide us. It's only by your grace that we're able to function and bring glory to you. Help us, Lord, to do this every day as we look to you and follow your word and your spirit to bring glory to you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Well, the holiday season's over now, right? And other than the football playoff season, it's pretty much done, right? Okay. I'm a football lover, and I will admit that. So now we're all thinking of going back to the regular grind of life, aren't we? Yes, we're back in the saddle again, as some might say. And we're going that way. So it was like that 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, it wasn't quite as noticeable then because it was a brand new thing. The birth of Jesus, who knew? Not many. Not many, not until the angels rousted up those shepherds and got them moving. And then later some magi came from the east and they found out. And so until then, it was pretty closely kept thing, wasn't it? But eventually the word got out. So life went on for a while as it always had. Can you imagine Mary and Joseph and Jesus just after the birth? There they are in that ramshackle barn of a thing. I don't know what you could actually really call it. But they were there. They had a place. Did they stay there? No, we're going to find out different. But life went on for them. Now, Joseph, being a carpenter by trade, probably got a job in the area. They didn't go back to Nazareth. So he probably got a job in the area or maybe even started a business. Who knows? But he had to do something. He had to feed his family, didn't he? Because that's the reality of life. You have to support yourself and your loved ones. So he went ahead and went back to work. Mary went about tending to her child and more than likely still pondering, what is going to happen? What's going to happen now? I knew what was going to happen up to this point. I was told I was going to have a child, a son. What now? You think she had some fear and trepidation? She might have, but listen, when you know that God has been talking with you and he's on your side and he's that close to you, I think you can take some strength from that, can't you? And you can look forward to the future. But for a moment, maybe put yourself in their place. They are the earthly parents of the Son of God. Can you wrap your brain around that at all? I don't know that even they could. Even with the reality of it there. This is God's Son, which of course made him also God. And there they were all together. The Son of God. Well, what should they be expecting? Do you know what they knew about this whole situation? They had been faithful in their worship, and they had been taught by the priests and the scribes. So they had some knowledge, but I don't know that they knew exactly what to expect. So, recognition, status, wealth, are these things that would come their way? At least a suitable place to live. You would hope for that, wouldn't you? Of course you would. How much did they really know about what the future would bring? They were trusting God, weren't they? They were using faith to walk with the Lord. And what they knew was mostly from the prophets and priests, what they had shared with them and others about the coming Messiah. Oh, they knew the Messiah was coming. They even had an idea of how it would happen, but they didn't know the details. But now they know the details, and it's a true reality for them. What were they realistically expecting to happen next? No idea. For the moment, things were seeming rather normal. They were living a daily life, getting by day to day, doing what we all do, working and living with one another and loving one another. So for the moment, it was normal. But that's about to change, isn't it? Turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2. Matthew, chapter 2. This is what Paul Harvey would call the rest of the story, right? Hey, we got the headline. Now let's find out the day-to-day and see what's going to happen. I'm going to read to you the first few verses, actually down to verse 9. And follow along, please. Matthew chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him." And when Herod the king heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child, and what you have found, and once you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." You're suspecting too, huh? When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. We're all quite familiar with that story, aren't we? But do we ever think of the ins and outs of what was happening in reality? I mean, we have a new mother with a new child. This child is growing up. Dad's having to go to work and provide a living. All that is going on just like it would for any other couple. Nothing special going on there yet. The Magi then arrive. The Magi from the east. They were most likely from Persia. Now, why would we think that? Because of the influence that Daniel, the prophet, had on that nation. The website Got Questions says, most likely the Magi knew of the birth from writings of the prophet Daniel, who in time past had been the chief of the court seers. You know what seers are, right? They are like the Magi. They have knowledge of spiritual things, and they watch what's going on in the world. They track the movement of the stars. They track the movement of things on earth so that they can try to decide how should they follow the Lord? How should they live their life? Daniel was, of course, closely associated with God, and God used him mightily. In Daniel chapter 9, 24 through 27, is included prophecy which gives mention of the birth of the Messiah. I'm not going to read all those chapters to you. You can look them up again. Daniel 9, 24 through 27. But it talks of and mentions the Messiah. But the Magi arrived in Jerusalem having need of direction. They didn't know exactly where they were going. God told them the Messiah was coming. He gave them an approximate location, but he didn't give them the exact location. So they have to go somewhere and get direction. Where do they decide to go? Well, to the authorities, of course. And so they go and get direction from God's word through the scribes and those that are working in the temple area. They get that information from them, but not until they get King Herod involved. Now, what's the problem with King Herod? He's not really a follower of God. He's not really even a Jew. He's from a different tribe. And he's trying to hang on to his kingdom and protect what he has, just like a natural-born human would do. Hey, I've got mine. Keep your hands off of it. Don't bother me about it. And so now he's wondering, a king in my domain? How am I going to deal with that? What's going to happen with that? I got to have this taken care of. And so he tells his scribes, go ahead, help, because I want to know where this child is going to be, where this king is going to be. So they get Herod involved. God also provides a beacon light for the Magi to follow, a star in the sky. Now, this isn't just any ordinary star in the sky. Astronomers have looked back and tried to figure out which star it was. Guess what they find? They don't know. They can't figure out what star it was. Now, why do you suppose that is? Because it's a special star provided by God. It's not there all the time. It's a special occasion star. Now, we're not given details on that. So you can use your imagination a little bit. Just don't go off the deep end with it. And you can have some fun with that, right? Like maybe it's the Holy Spirit shining a light. Who knows? All we know is they have the light, the star, to follow and lead them to the place where the Christ child is living. Scripture tells us in verse 11 that by the time the Magi arrived, the Holy Family was living now in a house. They had moved out of the cattle barn, and now they're living in a house. Well, how long did that take? We don't know exactly. But we have some ideas on that. This means that time had passed from the time of Christ's birth, and the Holy Family has now a suitable place to live. Now look at verse 10 and 11. When they, the Magi, saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy, and when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream they should not return to Herod, they departed in another direction. And they went back to their own country by another route. Now here, Matthew dispels the tradition that the Magi were at the stable when Christ was born. Sorry, spoiler alert. That happened later. They were not there at that time. Also, the common misconception that the wise men visited there on that night is an error. It is revealed by Scripture here in verse 1 where it plainly states that the Magi came when? After the birth, the Magi arrived to honor Jesus. Not moments after the birth either. It may have been up to 2 years later. We're not given an exact time. But don't let that throw you. Some of those details are not all that important. They just help other, you know, people that really study the scripture to find out some details that we might like to know. So maybe up to 2 years later, this due to what? The age range that Herod gave. He's the one that started that two-year thing. He gave that for the slaughter of the innocents. Children of the Bethlehem region were killed shortly after the Magi left. They left. And then Herod had his way. It was his futile attempt to kill the Christ child. He didn't want any pretenders to his throne. It was his throne. He was going to keep it. So he started having children from the age of about 6 months all the way up to 2 years being executed because he thought, this is how I'll get rid of the Christ child. You know who's really behind it, don't you? Of course. Yes, the enemy is always there pushing someone forward to do the dirty work. We must always be careful of the enemy. The event described in verse 16 says, "Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts from 2 years old and under." 2 years old and under, according to the time when he had determined from the wise men. So they gave him an approximate time. He took the ball from there and got his sayers and seers to help him, and then he went on his murderous rampage. After being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi leave Bethlehem and head back east. What do you think they did as they traveled? They've just come from the birth of the Son of God. They have an idea who he is. They presented him with treasure. Why would they do that if this wasn't a very important child? What did they do on their way back to the east? Doesn't tell us, but I'm pretty sure they dropped a few hints about who this child was. In fact, I think they probably were quite vocal about it and carried the message all the way back to the Middle East and started spreading the news. The Christ child, the Messiah, is born. You see, they had a background in the scriptures. They were from a part of the Middle East that believed in the God of the Bible because of what Daniel's influence had over those people. They were not ignorant. They had knowledge, and I hope they used it well. So I think they spread the good news that God's Son, the Christ, had come. Now drop down to verse 13. "Now when they," the Magi, "had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.' When he arose," that is Joseph, "when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt." You know, in the scripture, Egypt is a picture of the world, the picture of the masses of the world. So it's like saying they went and hid among the masses in plain sight, in the masses. "They departed for Egypt, and when there until the death of Herod," they were there until Herod's death, "that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.'" You know, we have to remember that there's always this plan of God that he's taking them through. This isn't a haphazard event that they're just winging it. No, this has been set up by God Almighty. And so they're following that plan. Herod's decree of hatred, his degree of hatred and frustration is demonstrated by his order to execute all those children. No telling how many he actually had killed, is there? We don't have an exact number, but that's quite a wide age range The Lord's plan is to get Jesus, Mary, and Joseph to safety in Egypt, where Herod will be unable to pursue them. So he's going to move them to a safe place. Nothing really special, is it? It's kind of normal-like. Well, we're just moving to Egypt. I found some work down there, and I'm going to move down there and do some work. Kind of typical. Hidden in plain sight. So they're hiding there. God's plan for the birth and safety of the Messiah is for the moment complete. They move to Egypt, and it's quiet there. No problems. No problems with the enemy at this point. Now, here are some important points we should take away from the events immediately after the birth of Christ. Immediately after the birth of Christ. The Magi were men who were aware and believed in God's word. I've already said that. They were aware of Daniel's writings. They had studied them. And they had come answering a call by God. You know, it's not just coincidence that they packed it up and started looking for the Messiah child. They were called and drawn by God to do this. Why did God need them there? Have you given that any thought? Have you figured it out yet? I've said it before. Hey, listen, if you're going to travel, what do you need? You need traveling cash. You need traveling money, right? And so God provides that to them through the Magi. They come and, yes, they're bringing their worship, but they're also bringing God's finances for them so they can travel to Egypt and set up a home there and maybe even live on that for a while. Now, Joseph, probably a pretty industrial person. He probably went back to work. But the wealth didn't hurt, did it? And it probably took care of them for quite a long time. God is good at furnishing those things that you really need. Amen. If you really need it, you call on the Lord. He'll provide it. Amen. Not just the stuff you'd like to have. No, the stuff you really have to have, all right? So the Magi believed and God used them. This confirmed by the actions of their mission to seek and find Jesus. They're looking for the Messiah child. They recognize the importance of Christ and the importance of their mission. We must find this child. You know, it's a trip of a good 700-800 miles. How'd you like to do that on the back of a camel? Okay. Forget about that air-conditioned luxury automobile you're riding around in. That's not happening. So they knew that they had to fulfill this mission. And they didn't give up until they delivered their worship and their offering. They kept with it. This is a mission we've been given by God. The God of the Bible gave us this. And we're going to fulfill it. They were prepared to humble themselves, to worship Jesus, and to recognize His deity. Yes, they had to humble themselves. This was no ordinary child. This was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And they were going to make sure that they did the right thing. You know, I think that's the message they bring to us today. We need to do the right thing by our God and Savior. We need to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, yes, there it is. I got it in, didn't I? Service to the Lord. Why else are we here? What did the Lord say? Go and tell. Tell what? About me, the Savior has come. Eternal life is in me. Trust me for your eternal life. That's what their message is. The Savior has come. Why aren't we out there shouting it all the time? The Savior has come.
Praise the Lord.
People have difficulty in life. The Savior has come. Call on the name of the Lord and what? You'll be saved. And I've often said it. It's not a one-time deal where you get saved from something in life, specifically your sin. No, it's being saved from all kinds of difficulties that you face. Do you have any challenges? Do you ever face any difficulties in life? Did you all of a sudden get slammed up by the head by something you're not expecting? What do you do when that happens? Call on the name of the Lord. That's what the Scripture says. That's what the Lord Himself tells us. Call on me. And I'll give you the victory. I'll give you the victory. He wants you to have the victory. Do you realize that? He wants you to have the victory. He gave His life and shed His blood so you could have the victory over all kinds of difficulties that you face in life. Do you trust Him? Do you call on Him? You need to do that because that's what He told us to do. He didn't give somebody else's name. Maybe you run into a problem, call Ezekiel. No, He didn't. No, it's Him. He's the only one you can call on and expect the results that you absolutely need. Amen? And so they fulfilled their mission. They honored the Lord Jesus Christ. They humbled themselves. They gave Him the offering that He was going to need. Holidays are over. Back to the grind. Yes. So here we are. What are we going to do now? We're going to get on with life. That's what we're going to do. We can't party and celebrate and eat nice meals and have picnics. We can't keep doing that. We have a job to do. We have an assignment to fulfill. Is it a hard, hard, odious assignment? No. How hard is it to tell somebody, you know, there's someone who really loves you and cares about you? He loves you so much that He sacrificed Himself for you, gave His life for you. Would you like to know Him? Would you like to know who that is? Oh, you think you know Him already? You've heard His name, Jesus? That's Him. That's who I'm talking about. Do you know Him real well? How well do you know Him? Would you like to get to know Him better? So you can just keep right on going, having that conversation, and the Lord will help you. The Holy Spirit will inhabit that conversation and guide you. All you have to do is humble yourself to do it, and He will help you. Amen. Will we? Here's the most important question of the new year. This is the important question. If you are already a believer, if you're not, the important question is, are you going to trust Jesus for your salvation? I have a sneaking suspicion that most of you here have done that. But if you haven't, please talk to me. I won't be hard. I'll be kind and loving. Sometimes I can get a little surly, but I won't. I'll be nice. The most important mission of this new year, bar none, is to you answering this question. Will I make room for the leadership of Jesus in my life this year? Will I humble myself to His leadership this year? And I'm not going to sugarcoat it. You make the commitment, you'll need to deal with it. You'll probably need to make some changes. But you'll never regret it. You'll always love the fact that you're walking in the Spirit with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yeah, I get a little giddy when I think about that. Can you even imagine that Can you imagine being one of the disciples or apostles and walking around with Jesus? Having Him right there with you? Someday that's going to be a reality. But right now is the time to humble yourself and allow Him in to lead you to do His business. That's what He wants. He wants you to serve Him. Will you do it? Will you do it? That's the message of the new year. Will I serve the Lord? I'd encourage you to try it. He's not a harsh taskmaster. He's full of love and encouragement and provision. Trust Him. Walk with Him. Let's pray. Father, we know who Your Son is. He's the loving, living Savior, the King of life, the giver of life, the sustainer of life. And what a life it is. A life of love, showing it to other people, the love of Christ. Oh Lord, help us to catch the vision. Catch the vision and show that love. We know that's what You want. Help us. Help us to do it beginning today to show the love. Lord, bless all that are hearing this message to show the love. That You might even bless them more than they're being blessed even now. Because that's what kind of a God You are. A loving God. A rewarding God. Rewarding us with Your love and Your presence. We ask it in Jesus' name that this be done. We want to serve. We want to share the name of Jesus and His love. Help us do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.